Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Indeed, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Marcin from the baptistry, your brother and sister-in-law here with Aiden and Ephraim, you on this Mother's Day coming the experience of saying, Lord, you are trustworthy. Grow my trust in you that I may be a trustworthy person in the world. We lead with the mother. To say mother is to evoke feelings in our life. The nature of those feelings will vary according to our personal experiences. We may feel happy, sadness, anger, gladness, praise, confusion, gratitude or regret, love or it depends on our journey of being a mother or with our mothers. But in it all, that the grace of God comes with a mothering power and influence in our life to heal whatever there is from the past and make us whole, so that the very best intention of a mother's indeed is the healing power in our life today, that we then will become that force into the world. Oh, courageous mothers, you are a fulfillment of God's strategy for the family. For God calls out women of a courageous love with a remarkable character to step in and to say yes with the responsibilities of bringing in a new generation. If you're a mother, I'd ask if you'd stand right now, please. God's blessings upon you, renewing your energy and your strength for, and also continuing to grow your lives with that ongoing influence. And others did not stand, but you have been a mother, who a woman who has stepped into the lives of children, youth, and adults with the absolute understanding that you've been called to be a difference maker by investing your courageous love of teaching another generation of how to have a trust in God, a tough character in a tough world, but to do so as a person of love. We find this in the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph unfolds with the story of a blessing. The blessings then are the source of God's care within our life that gives us power and courage to be true to why God brought us into the world. It's the source and direction of our destiny. So let God shape your destiny by shaping the blessings of character in your life. There's many things that happen to us that we cannot control. We see this in the life of Joseph as well. But one thing we can always control wherever we are is our character. There are values, our core self. And in this core self of who we are is what we take wherever we go in whatever situation. And God sets the direction of your destiny by the character of your soul. And God works through the lives of mothers and works through the lives of others in his own direct touch. But I want to talk specifically about blessings. Four blessings that mothers bring to their children. Four blessings of people who invest as mothers in the lives of others. And ultimately, four blessings that God seeks to work in our life as we are willing to trust in Jesus, to trust in him. Delighting in your life. A mother's blessing has a delighting in your life, knowing that God loves you. See, God, when you were born into this world, you were conceived and born. You were born with a promise that has come from the life of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, that God delights in you. There's been no day in your life where God's delight wasn't wanting to break through, whether it was a doldrums or the daylight, for God's delight to say, I love you and I believe in you, and you are here by purpose. For some, that can be most difficult. When we think of the story about Joseph, we find that he was born in Genesis 30, 22 through 24. It is that famous story of his famous mother, Rachel. Rachel could not have children, it seemed, after miscarriages and stillbirths, and disappointment after disappointment. And then she felt a unique movement of God that enabled her to feel a stirring in her womb. And she knew that she was going to give birth. And in doing so, when her first son of two sons that would be born to her, she gave him the name Joseph, which means, and may he add. Meaning may her son be someone who adds. May he be one who adds a brother into this world. May he be a character who expands God's world by adding into the world. May he be an addition of goodness in the world. She began to pray for Joseph then. And she prayed in ways that she would never see fulfilled with her own eyes. But the truth about prayers is they have no shelf life. The shelf life of a mother never stops. It continues on, and our prayers that we offer into the world for others have a continuation of God's eternal destiny for his best to be accomplished as we're willing to pray for that best to occur. And when Rachel was praying that prayer, she was praying for that Joseph to be that blessing. Now, in the photograph that you just saw, along with my first movement of the sermon, is the picture of our daughter, Rachel, with young son Jack. And as she's holding young son Jack in her arms on the first Mother's Day of Jack's life, right here in worship, and not far from where they are right now, she's holding then. Glory Marshall from our church took that photograph and sent it to us. It reminds me of how it was that the Rachel in the scriptures died in giving birth to a second child, and how it was that our daughter Rachel almost died in giving birth to Jack. Vicki and I were on a vacation, just finished being in Yellowstone, on the way to Glacier National Park, which we would never arrive to, because our son-in-law, Tom, called to say that Rachel had major trouble in her pregnancy. Well, you've gotten phone calls like that, and we immediately turned around on the highway. We looked at our maps and find, where's the nearest airport? I can't remember if it was Bozeman, Helena, or Butte, but one of those airports. We drove there and stayed at the airport hotel that night. Vicki got on the first plane out, heading back, and I drove the car back to Denver and then flew back in. And it was a troubled pregnancy. But Jack was born prematurely, but healthily, like many of you have also experienced. And just when Jack was born, the doctor had an insight that there needed to be an additional person present who was a surgeon. Because complications occurred, and without the additional physician there, Rachel would have died. And in the awareness of when the Rachel of the Genesis story did not have that a doctor to be there to do what could be needed to have saved her life, she died, and her second son was called Ben-Oni by her, my son of sadness. But the midwife in Jacob, the father, changed that to Benjamin, the son of blessing, to go forward. And so it was that this Rachel, in a troubled world at a troubled time, gave birth in an example that her name continues on today to have a meaning and a power of a model of an example about delight in troubled circumstances. You know, it's kind of fun to ask someone, tell us a story about when you were born. And some are great and wonderful stories, and others are filled with hardships, like Rachel's with Benjamin. A member of our church, Tom, his mother died right after he was born. He never saw her. And the first face that he's looking forward to seeing in heaven is that of the mother that brought him into the world. No, there's delight. God triumphs for delight. Don't let anything take away the delight of your life that you will then be a blessing to bring delight to others. And secondly, what a mother does in this courageous work of tough love and with a tender heart is to shape memories in the life of the child. Memories that are worth having. Memories that will continue to form and shape that child throughout his or her life. And I know many of you may be saying right now, well, I didn't get all those good memories. And that's where, again, God's grace steps right in. Just like what Marcin claimed in his verse for baptism, is that the angels in heaven celebrate when our lives can be healed, when sinful things have happened to us or that we have done, and there is the story about the new life that is born, angels in heaven celebrating. That's the eternal destiny of God in the life of prayer and love. But you and I are responsible today to shape memories worth having in the lives of others, and through those memories to be able to shape them that they can continue to know God's best hope for their life. The photograph here is of a Jeanette Hernandez. My mother is, all of you know who have heard me speak of my mother, was a tremendous woman of great influence in my life. But a second mother in my life was Jeanette. She spent a lot of time in her home, and I spent a lot of time with her. And she, as a second mother, she saved me from my two older brothers and my, who were just whooping up on me every time Dad and Mom left the house. And I felt this special closeness to Jeanette. And she was a woman of faith, but I realized even as a kid that she had had sadness touch her life, that her beloved husband, Ben, had died of cancer. And that Jeanette had two little girls, Sarah and Linda. And that Jeanette was in our family, and in a way that she also was absorbing the sadness from her own life. And there's a way that we were coming to be family. And there was all kinds of tension in my family. And Jeanette would come into the house and absorb some of that tension and be able to pass on that kind of love. And that she helped to shape good memories, memories that continue to shape me today. And that's something everyone here can do. That you may give memories worth having into the lives of other people. Now, the story of Joseph, what we discover is that there are powerful memories at work in his life, and that he had to have those memories shaped by a character in his life in such a way that eventually, under the hand of God, those memories would be shaped for God's purposes. And ultimately, that's what God wants to happen to every experience that has happened to you, to let it be shaped in a way that will serve God's purpose in your life. And then you become a blessing for others. It was 8 years ago that I was at the Burney Cemetery, and Linda and Sarah asked if I would officiate the graveside service for their mother, Jeanette. And as we stood there and we told stories about how we had shared in life and stories about her mother and the remarkable gift of her life and how these memories were continuing to shape our lives as we were going forward and deep into our adulthood. That's the power of soul memories. Be a person who gives memories worth having. The power of that is even for Joseph in Genesis 39:1. It opens that he had been sold into slavery, as you recall the story from last Sunday in your own readings of the scripture, as you've opened it up, that he arrived in Egypt when he didn't want to be. He was a human trafficking, caught in the slave trade. He was sold to Potiphar, a man of Pharaoh's house, and he was purchased. But then it says that Joseph became a blessing to Potiphar and Potiphar's household. Now his character is getting shaped and formed. New memories are being shaped, the redemptive memories. And Joseph could have thrown all of that away by being just filled with anger and hatred and revenge and envy and jealousy, that cancer of the soul that can get a hold of any of us. But Joseph was learning these hard lessons of life, that in God's grace, that memories can be redeemed in a way that he could become a blessing where he was, a place not of his own choosing, but he could be of service of God. So we find then that we can be forming. We can be forming a character by modeling character for the lives of others. See, God challenges mothers to keep growing in life. My mother continued to influence me, as she does today, but she continued to influence me in her earthly life, even with Parkinson's syndrome and dementia. I was in the room the night, her last night on earth. I was beside her bed with my brother-in-law when she breathed her last breath. She was teaching me even then what it's like to trust God with every breath and have every ounce of physical energy to be an expression of love. the power of continuing to grow with our lives so that we can continue to pass on modeling for others. How are you modeling God's goodness for other people? Mothers, absolutely. How are you modeling today? Children, now adults, children who are children, and children who are youth, and children who are adults, how are you modeling God's grace, the growth of God in your life, for others in your life? And how are we doing that for everyone that we meet? Because someone is always watching. Anita said this morning, she and Dick Foster have been watching us faithfully and worshiping in live stream every Sunday morning. And today was her first Sunday back on the campus. And when I stepped into that Sunday school classroom, she said, "Now, wait a minute. I'm not sure how I can take in your presence without there being a box around you." You know, wherever you are, there is someone who's watching. And in that watching, there's the influence for good or for bad. And God calls your character out that you can be someone continuing to grow within the character of goodness. Now, who here hasn't messed up? Part of the goodness that we can model for others is how to recover from our mistakes, how to ask for forgiveness, how to be a sign of God's redemption. And in life reversals, we ourselves can become that reversal in the lives of others. Joseph is caught in that situation. I mean, here he is in Potiphar's house. He's being trustworthy. He's fulfilling his mother's prayers. He's being true and growing his own character in tough circumstances. And then there's a temptation. And there is an act of temptation of someone who's trying to abuse her power over him. So often it's the reverse, but in this case, it happened that way. And by his saying no, no one else was watching. No one would have known that day. But by his saying no, his story is still told today as an inspiration of how to do right instead of wrong. How to let the character form the centering of our lives so we don't become uncentered in our uncentered world. You're going to have circumstances this week that will try to push you and shove you and will try to control you and cause you to lose your balance or try to. But know that there's a prayer of a mother, there are prayers of friends, there's the steadying presence of God shaping your character that you can be anchored in the goodness of God by God's character shaping you to do right. Have you ever been caught by surprise when you said no to a temptation? I have. And I realized, it surprised me how clearly I said no. Not out of my own just goodness. But something was stirring a clarity inside me that just made the response to be clear. That's how God, trusting Jesus, can be the force in our life forever. And then we show how it is that we are really free to live when we're not afraid to die. That God's destiny for you is eternal. When Joseph was there, when Brother Benjamin was born, and he saw his mother, Rachel, dying and giving birth, imagine that vivid memory which he had. But imagine also his stepping into the prayers that were prayed and the reversal in a life situation that then became a confidence for him later when God grew his character. He realized that he didn't need to be afraid to die when his brothers were going to kill him in the wilderness when he was 17 years old, when he was being sold as a slave by the Ishmaelites in the home of Potiphar, when Potiphar could have had him executed, but instead he was sent to the dungeon. That there in the moments of the fear of death, Joseph had a calmness by knowing that God's eternity was his destiny. And if it was to happen death on earth that day, so be it. But he would not shrink under the threat of it. He would be true to himself in the midst of it. That's the power. And so when the false accusation against Joseph held sway for a while, and he was thrown into the prison. Again, the third time in this chapter 39, It said, and the Lord was with Joseph and blessed him. Now, you may have wondered when Kathy and Kristen were reading the scripture, they're thinking, what in the world is Pastor Les thinking about those scriptures being read on Mother's Day? And now we know. It's the power of God giving us the freedom to live vibrantly and victoriously, to live in the midst of His trust by trusting Him, even on the day where we are threatened by death, that we can see eternity as the promise to go forward, and therefore we are not afraid because we have been set free from a fear. That promise is what called us together this past Thursday. There at our TriPoint campus. There at the TriPoint campus by which then we extend a conversation place with our city where we do non-traditional ministry and a relationally based gospel that's the extension of who we are. And there as we hosted the mayor of San Antonio. There as we hosted Archbishop Gustavo. There as we hosted Rabbi Guto. There as we hosted people in presence and by live streaming. There is Veronica and Laurie who prayed for our nation and our state and our city. There is we gathered in prayer in the name of Christ for our entire city. You were a part of that day of National Day of Prayer. And we've said this, that we are stronger through prayer. And the questions the mayor answered, the archbishop answered, the rabbi answered, that we must answer is, why do I pray and how do I pray? Rachel prayed a prayer, a blessing of Joseph over his name. And Joseph prayed for it to be true to his name, where indeed he added God's goodness in a hard and harsh world. That we know that in the midst of this prayer life, we are made stronger. So while thrown in the dungeon, Joseph didn't exchange his character for convenience, but he found his place to stand by the goodness of God's character in him that changed the circumstances of the prison. And in doing so, changed history. That's the call of Mother's Day, but not just Mother's Day. It's the call of mothers, but not just mothers. It's the call for all of us. And the prayer that I preach from every Sunday was the last Bible my mom gave to me, and she wrote in it, from the prophet Isaiah, quoting the prophet Isaiah, said, "And as a mother's love, so it is that God extends His grace through you into the world." This is the story of God. Thanks be to God. We move to a response time. Certainly it is gratitude. Certainly it is a thank you of God that we are delight and that we are alive and we know His delight, that we have memories of Him and the memories worth keeping, that He grows our character, that we be people of character, that He calls us with a freedom because of our eternity. But where's the update for you? What is it that you need to take that next step? When Marcin stepped into my office this week, having connected with August and I, he said, "Here's what God's doing with me. And baptism is the only way to celebrate this grace." Is that your update today? Lord Jesus, I need you. I give my life to you. I believe in you as the Son of God. Transform me, I pray. May it be that your family this day, in whatever shape or form your family is, comes in a freshness of God's presence, to feel His goodness being the source of your love for each other. Make sure you're part of that hope that's living.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.